Thank you, sir. It's good to be back. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
I know you're all happy and excited to be here, right?
Absolutely.
You can tell by the singing. Man, when you sing like that, you're a happy bunch of people. I like to come to a happy place, don't you?
Amen. Yes.
Of course, there's one place to be more happy than this.
Amen. That's right.
You know where that is, right?
I know where that is.
Amen. I'll be glad. Be glad when we get there. China's been fun, but heaven's better. If you would, turn to Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to do two things. I'm going to show pictures and try to teach at the same time. So if you'll bear with me, not be too mean. Pastor told me that sometimes y'all carry rocks in your pockets if missionary does real bad. Is that true?
It's better than the guns in the shoes.
Okay, we'll take the rocks. Since I've had two back surgeries, so give me a little head start, okay? It shouldn't take long to chase me down. So what I want to do is first and foremost to glorify God. I mean, that's why we're here. Everything about our life is to glorify Him. And even the things that we do, missions work and everything. Yeah, cool. We don't have that where I'm at. Oh, that's so nice. Now I got something to hide behind. You're a fine fella. Give me a little protection from the rocks. But, of course, to glorify God with what He's doing in China. But that involves two things. That involves you and myself.
Right.
Amen?
Yes.
We can't be there without your help.
That's right.
And because of your help, I have some exciting news for you tonight. More so than just pictures. Those will help. But the exciting thing is what the Lord tells us in a few verses in Philippians chapter 4. So if we begin with verse 15, Paul says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving,"
right.
"giving and receiving, but you only." So, automatically, so we see here that this Paul's complimenting them, and he's thankful for them. For the fact that they helped him in his work. So if we can take this, I don't think I'm stretching it too far, but to think of Paul being a missionary, and this church is helping him do mission work. So, "Now ye Jordan Baptist members, know also that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from the United States," and I'm going to add some words, "to China,"
right.
Not every church communicated with me. Not every church can help me. That's, you know, it's just not going to happen. "With me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." Then verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica, you sent once again unto my necessity. For even in China, ye, plural, all of you, sent once and again unto my necessity." And you've been doing that now for 17 years. 1 year for deputation, 16 years on the field. You've always been faithful. You've never stopped. You've never quit. Never been tired of doing well and these types of things, being weary and well-doing. And so, again, Paul's complimenting them. And so that's my intention with these verses, is to compliment you and to thank you for what you're doing in helping my wife and I do some amazing things, or God has allowed us to do some amazing, us, all of us, you and I, to do things in China. And so now here's the crux, verse 17, 18, and 19. Now through these, so verse 15 and 16, it's like Paul is setting this up. "This is what you've done for me, and I'm thankful for what you're doing." And then verse 17, he says, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit."
Right.
Okay, so that's one key word. And then the second key word, he says, "that may abound to your account."
Right.
fruit to your account.
Right.
Fruit from China to your account, collectively as a church and as individual members, but there's a stipulation to individual people within the church. Do you know what the stipulation is? It only applies to individuals if, number one, you're praying, and number two, if you're giving to missions.
Right.
If you're not praying and you're not giving,
right,
guess what? No fruit's added to your account,
right,
your personal account,
right,
because you're not investing,
yes,
you're not giving to that individual or to the collective,
right,
missions program. So you're missing something that's very, very important.
Yes.
And we'll see how important that is in a few minutes. So we'll stop right here and fruit that may abound to your account. So I was telling your pastor, so tonight I'm here, think of this as an investor's meeting. That's what you've done. You've sacrificially given your money to missions. From that missions money, you then give to individual missionaries or individual people. So when you do that, then you should get a return on your investment.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
That return is the fruit.
Yes.
You expect to see something come from your investment.
Right.
If you gave, you give, for I'll use myself an example. If you've invested in funds for, let's say, the first 2002, I came back in 2008, and I came here to give a report, and I told you, well, I've been in China now for 6 years, and we've only reached two people for the Lord. Well, based on where you're at, now that could be difficult if you're in Saudi Arabia,
right,
or Iran,
right,
depending on the location. But China's not Saudi Arabia, and it's not Iran, and it's not North Korea. So you would expect more than two people. So you'd begin to think, well, wait a minute now. In the real world, when we invest in 401s and IRAs, if we're not seeing something happening, what's the first thing we start doing? We're picking up the phone and making some phone calls.
Right.
And we're doing some research, and we're going to find out what's going on. And if we think we're getting cheated or we could do better somewhere else, then we'll move our funds from this,
right,
place to another account.
Right.
I've done that.
Yes.
For lack of a better expression, you want the biggest bang for the buck.
Right.
So you want the biggest bang for the buck for missionaries. It's an investment, and it's an important investment.
Right.
And it's something, obviously, that you don't take lightly, or you just something that you flippantly do. Because, again, you're talking about investing church funds that can be used for a lot of different things.
Right.
And so missions is just part of your investment.
Yes.
So think of that board and the table out there. That's part of your investment portfolio.
Right.
And that's... And the supper you're having tomorrow, that's another part of your investment portfolio. So you have different portfolios that you invest in, expecting fruit that's added to your account collectively as a church, as well as individually.
Yes.
Make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so keeping it just focused for missions, that investment portfolio back there then becomes very, very important. Extremely important, because that's every one of those letters is an investment report. You read the letters of the investments that you've made, expecting to see some return on your investment.
Yes.
Make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so think of the investment with what we're doing in China. I was telling your pastor, think of it as the Jim and Katie Mutual Fund of China. Now, I call it mutual fund because this is the only way we work. Number one, we're doctrinally like-minded.
Yes.
We have the same Savior, same Lord and Savior, going to the same place, saved by the same blood.
Right.
We're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're family.
Right.
We're also all missionaries.
Yes.
Ambassadors or missionaries. We're all called to go. We all know all of this stuff.
Right.
Okay. I just went a little further, and God has burdened your heart to help me in China.
Right.
And so I'll stop right here, and I can't, we'll never be able to thank you enough. 17 years of faithful support. And my wife and I have tried to be faithful and good stewards of the money that you send us every month. We don't take these things lightly.
Amen.
We don't. I've never taken a vacation. I'm not in China to take vacations. I'm in China to glorify Him. and that to do a work that for fruit will abound to your account, because I want fruit. I want interest in the money that you've invested, spiritual investment. Okay? So when we talk about fruit that's added to your account, so number one, when we spiritually invest, specifically missions, individually, the mutual fund of China, then you expect to see fruit or produces fruit. Okay? So then let's... Okay? So... Again, I'm backing up a little bit. I got a little bit ahead of myself. But for those of you who may not know who I am or things about missions and these kind of things, all of this will come together really quick. So the question is, why do we give to missions? I don't think I need to tell you about that. From the look at your investment portfolio, you got that covered. Not a problem. So why should we continue to invest in the mutual fund of China? Well, one is because it's $1.2 billion lost people. The Christianity is making steps forward, but sometimes it seems that every step forward you take two steps back. But that's, you kind of see that in this country as well. You know, it's always an uphill battle. So when you think about the things that goes on in China, for example, ancestor worship, the burning sticks, paper cars, paper houses, and these kind of things, hoping that grandpa in hell will have a car to drive. You burn a paper house, hoping that grandpa has a nice house to live in hell. And I ask him, why don't you burn real money? Why don't you burn your real house? Yeah. Right. Well, see, where's the logic in that? Well, who are your ancestors? Who are these people that you give fruit and burn sticks to in your family altar in your home? Who? Well, we don't know. That's just something that we do. Culture and tradition can be good. It can also be very dangerous. And it can also be very difficult to break. Old habits are hard to break. They die hard. Amen?
Yes.
And China is one of these. 5,000 years of culture is difficult. That's an impasse sometimes. But never forget God's word stronger than any culture or tradition. He can break the hearts. And that's why we've got a powerful message. And then you've got Buddha worship. You can go to any store and buy a Buddha and sit it in your car, sit it in your bathroom, sit it in your house, carry it around your pocket. You know, you can rub his fat belly and his bald head and be happy. What kind of God's that? And then this crazy woman up here worshiping some traditional God. So when you think of China as being communist and atheistic, you've got the wrong impression of China. That's what they promote. The government is atheistic. They have to say they're atheist to be a part of the Communist Party. But you would be surprised how many believe in something, but they keep it hidden in order to maintain their position in the government. Well, we as Christians, we don't hide our Christianity. If you lose your job, so what? God will give you a better one. Maybe give you one where souls will be saved. It's not something we should be ashamed of. They are. And so you have everything, Buddhism, Taoism, animism, Christianity, you've got it all there. And so when we think about praying and giving and going, that's why we do these things, to reach the lost. Again, it's a very simple message. You understand the principle and the concept behind it. We're told to go and to give and to pray. Those three is what involves fruit to your account. If we don't give, we don't pray, we don't go, there's no fruit.
Right.
You got a dead church. There's nobody sitting here.
Right.
There'll be nobody here.
Right.
Pastor, you know, one or two, but just right. It's an empty place. And prayer is the most powerful weapon we have.
Yes.
Probably the most underrated, most underused.
Right.
Prayer is powerful, man, I'm telling you. And so these are the things and the reasons why we do this. So this is why. Now the next slide then will familiarize or bring you kind of up to date with what's been going on in China. Encapsulates everything for the last 17 years. Okay? So if you see the first one, now I worked with Brother Eddie Mills. He came in 1993, he and his family. The platform that we're in China involves teaching English. That's our platform of being there. You have to have a reason to be in the country. English happens to be the reason why we're there. He came and was teaching English as an English teacher. From teaching English at schools and then through relationships, began to reach a lot of people. And then the people he reached began sharing the gospel. So, and that's, of course, that's how it works. The key in China with reaching people is not door knocking and it's not passing out tracts. Both of those are obviously in China is illegal. You could still do it, but it's not effective. What is effective in China is relationships. Relationships is what led me to the Lord through hot rods and illegal street racing. That's the bond and the relationship that I had. Most all of you were saved because of somebody that you know. They took the time to share the gospel with you. Most people, it doesn't come from a stranger. Amen? Yes. For the majority of people. And so finally in 1999, then he started a church. And it started with from the English students and the students that they reached. So it was a young group of folks. Okay? And that's my wife when she was younger. Those are the pictures we like to, not forget that prayer cards back there. Those pictures, the camera's lying. I don't look like this. Your eyes are deceiving you. And so we arrived in June to help Brother Mills. Okay, then in 2006, here comes the fruit to your investment. Now between 2002 and 2006, there are being people saved. And they're going to Victory Baptist Church. So things are happening. But for things to really happen, planting more churches reaches more people. And if you plant more churches, it means you have more leaders and you have more pastors. So you're replicating yourself. So in 2006, we started a second church, True Light Baptist Church. This is Peter, the pastor now, that was recently ordained. This church started, from a business. And he began sharing the gospel with some employees. He owns a training center. But all he knew was just the foundation of the gospel. He knew very little about doctrinal foundation type things. So we began to talk and these kind of things. So Brother Mills told me, okay, I got Victory. Now you take this church. There's your man. There's your church. Now do something with it and make it work. Thank you, Jesus. And so that's what we've done. And so we started off in 2006. There was about six or seven at this little old business Bible study. Now we have about 40, 45 that comes. And a lot of people have been saved. Okay, so then in 2007, the investment, we started second church, total of number three, but two for the investment of Watchman Baptist Church in Chonghai. It's about an hour and a half southeast of us. This church started with one person. There was a teacher that moved from mainland to this small city at a private school. We received an email asking if somebody from our church could go and teach her the Bible. She said she can't find any Christians and she can't find any churches there. Can somebody come teach her the Bible? We said, man, yeah. So Simon and I, another Chinese, jump in the truck and we go down there and spend a few months. Finally, Simon goes and spends the rest of the time there because a foreigner going into a city that has no foreigners, you're known. And people are watching you and these kind of things. So in order not to jeopardize what they're doing, so they're meeting outside in the courtyard at the private school. This lady, her name is Jessica, got so excited sharing the gospel with other teachers and students that we bought an apartment and started a church from this one person. Amen. From this one person to today, there's 45 that comes. And an untold number of people that have been saved through that. So from one person led to buying a church. We own property. We own an apartment. Nobody lives there. It's not a house church. It's a church. And so we started that. Then in 2010, we started another church. So now we have four churches that you've invested in. It's an hour east of us. It began at a restaurant. The owner of a restaurant got saved. He began witnessing to his parent, to his family, and to his co-workers, and people started getting saved. So we came up and started having Bible in his restaurant. And we thought, well, you know, this is really not a good thing to do. So we rented an apartment and started having church. About 30, 35 started coming. Well, Lord really blessed them. This church has bought their own property. They bought an apartment. They have their own church now. They're fully self-sufficient. They tithe, they pay their own rent. I mean, they don't need me anymore. They don't need Mr. Mills anymore. It's their own, they've got their own ordained pastor. It's a done deal. Then 2011, 2017, we started a Bible study at a private school. There were many teachers at this school that were Christians, but they couldn't come to church on Sundays. Being a teacher at a private school, you work all day and you babysit at night. The students live at the school. They're not allowed to go home. And so the teachers work as babysitters at the night, like dorm, they watch the dorms and these kinds of things. So we would go on Wednesday nights and have a Bible study. From this Bible study, over 20 have been saved. Amen. And most of them still come to our church today. Others have found other jobs and moved, you know how people move on and these kind of things. But this was a very fruitful tree that was picked. Amen. A lot of souls saved from that. And so then we come to 2014. Here comes our fifth church, Little Island Baptist Church. Now, we started this in another part of the city because Victory Baptist Church had too many people. In the mornings, we'd have 80 or 90 people coming. And that sends up, and plus foreigners coming, myself and Brother Mills. But 80 people meeting in a room together brings up red flags. As long as you keep around 40 or 50, the government doesn't really get involved in church affairs or any type of affairs. But when they start seeing a gathering of 80 or 90 people, they get suspicious. They want to know what's going on. Is this some kind of, you know, religious cult? Is this, are they propagating propaganda against the government? I mean, you know, they don't know and they don't like it. And so, of course, they want to know what's going on. And so that was our attempt to start this church. But unfortunately, our numbers didn't go down. They went up. We still had 80 coming on Sunday morning, and now 25 go to this church. We rented this to move some of our people in the morning and go to this other place at night. Well, they're stubborn. They didn't want to go. So 25 came here and 80 are still here. So we're still, it's good that we're growing, but it's not addressing our problem. Then in 2017, we started a business Bible study. Four people have been saved from here. Then in 2018, what we couldn't do or refused to do, God did. So in May, Victory Baptist Church divided. Victory Baptist Church divided because the government came knocking on our door. We knew it was coming. It's just a matter of time, in which, of course, they did. And, of course, I think they were expecting me to be teaching. Brother Mills had been in the States, and I was teaching in his stead in the morning church. And the Sunday he comes back, his first time back, to stand up and start teaching, I go with Sunday night church. So he comes in, takes up his position, and then the government shows up. So you had National Security Bureau, it's like the CIA or the FBI. You have the Religious Bureau, and then you have the local police. So you have these three people come in, raid it. They take names, take phone numbers. But you know the amazing thing is? Nothing happened. We never got a call. They never came to my house. They never came to Mr. Mills' house. They haven't done anything to us as foreigners. They haven't done anything to the church. There's a lot of things they could have, and I tried to go into some general details in the newsletters, things that could happen, but nothing did. In fact, now they've accepted Simon as a pastor, a non-government sanctioned pastor in an illegal church. And so now Simon just comes to their meetings along with all the other religious people there, and they've accepted him. Amen. But what it did is it lessened our number down to 40 now. So we have 40 at Victory, and now we have, when we started Pearl Baptist Church on June 3rd, we have 40 there. So we split. So what we should have done in the beginning, refused to do, God did it for us. But what this does, it gives us more opportunities to grow and reach more people. If this place was jam-packed full of people, you can't grow. Right. You got to build or start another church somewhere else. And that's the situation we were in. So things are really going great. Things are going wonderful. And, of course, these are the Monday night. We have a Monday night men's leadership meeting. These are the two pastors that we recently ordained. Peter's on the left, and of course Simon. Simon was led to the Lord by Brother Mills. He was with the church when I was there to visit in the year 2000, just to visit them. So he's been. This is a product of Brother Mills, presenting the gospel to him and discipling him, and then Peter's mind. This young man is up and coming. He's been coming to our church. He was there when I was there in 2002. He was there when he was like 5 years old. He grew up in the church. So we're looking, he just recently started teaching in the church. So pray for him. His name is Joseph. He just got married. His wife's expecting, but we have really high hopes for him. We're praying that God will call him to be a pastor. If there's one thing you can really, really pray for what's happening in China, if you want to see your investment grow, is pray that God will give us more men. Amen. Because if we can have more men, there's so much more we can do. I'm serious. We've got the foundation. We've got the churches. We just need people to do services. We could have a Sunday morning and a Sunday night and a midweek in five different churches if we had the men. But we're just spread too thin and we can't be everywhere at once. So we're really excited about the leaders and what's going on there. Okay, now, verse 17, it says, fruit that may abound to your camp. Okay, so that gives you a little history lesson and a general idea of your investment. Five churches, two ordained pastors. I think that's pretty good for China, for where we live under the circumstances, for 16 years. I think that's pretty good. Two churches have they're fully self-sufficient, and we're at the point now. We're real close to being at the point now that if the government kicks us out, and this has always been our goal, when we leave, they'll keep right on going and they'll never miss a beat. And we've got two pastors that are just as doctrinally sound. I'll match those two against anybody here when it comes to doctrine. They are sharp. I mean, I'm serious. It's a heart attack, and they don't back down. Anyway. So 15:16. You've not chosen me; chosen you. You should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that fruit should be made. So if we're going to have fruit, then fruit needs to be, none of this easy believism kind of stuff. I don't believe in that stuff. Say this prayer and you're saved. No. No, don't work that way. So let's see some fruit that's been added to your account since the last time I was here. Well, in 2014, 22 people were saved. That's not bad. 2014, couple of churches, 60 people. Whoa, 2015, we had a little bump in the interest. Got a little extra, 25. 2016, 20, well, you know, you kind of have the highs and lows, but it's still up there. Still going good. God's still working. Prayers are being answered. Pooh! Now, that's because we're growing. Because the more people you have, and then you get them excited about reaching their family and friends, you're going to grow. China's not like Somerset, or it's not like Burnside. It's not like where I live in Florence. China, it's where we live. It's just an unreached group. So it's different. So don't compare. Well, I wish why we. It's different. Amen. Amen? So it's just different. So in 2017, 49 were saved. In 2018, so far as of this month, five have been saved so far this month. And we recently had a baptism. 35 have been saved. So for the past 5 years, what's the interest in your investment? 151. That's not bad. Amen. I don't think it's bad. You can come hang out for China and you get a better idea. I'll take you to my favorite restaurant. I promise you won't get sick. It'll be a memorable moment. You won't get sick, but you'll remember it. So, you know, come. So these are the things about fruit. So now, real quick, look at verse 18. Now, he says, Paul said, but I have all in abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. So I am full, having received of Jordan Baptist Church the things which were sent from you. Now notice how he describes what Paul had received from them. Notice how he would describe the same idea of what you have sent to me. An odor of a sweet smell. Now here Paul begins to get into some Old Testament imagery. Right. And the imagery is what? Look at the next word, a sacrifice. Yeah. It's Old Testament imagery.
Right.
That means worship. Mm-hmm. And the first time you find the word worship in the Bible involves what?
Sacrifice.
Yeah. That's true worship. True worshiping is sacrificing something for God. Right. So collectively as a church, you sacrificed the finances that this church collectively could use somewhere else to give to missions. It is a it can be or should be a sacrificial giving. That's seen and God says that's a sacrifice. But notice how he describes a sacrifice. A sacrifice acceptable. So because it's a sacrifice, you're sacrificing with the right heart for the right reasons, that then becomes well-pleasing to God. So it's an odor of a sweet smell. God actually seems to be able to smell it. That's the imagery of incense. So it's like the giving of money or your time or the sacrifice of prayers. It's like incense. It's like smoke going up to heaven and God can smell it. It gets his attention.
Yes.
And he knows that. And he says it's acceptable. It smells good. Worshiping God smells good. He likes that. It says so. It pleases him. It's acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So spiritual investment will always produce fruit if you invest it wisely. Manage your money wisely. Collectively, but individually, the only way this fruit applies to your account is if you're individually involved. You have to pray and you got to give. And sometimes you got to go. But it takes being a personal involvement. And so it's a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So it produces fruit. Number two, it pleases God.
Right.
So because you have given to the Jim and Katie Palmer Mutual Fund of China, mutually we're working together to glorify God, reach the lost.
Right.
One can't be done without the other. So fruit's added to your account, fruit's added to my account. All you do is pray and you give a little money.
Right.
And I go and eat rice and fish heads. You know, silkworms for lunch and you know, puppy fried rice and this kind of stuff. It's all good. It's okay. I'm exaggerating, folks. We have it, but I don't need it. So, but these are the kind of things we do. I've not made no sacrifice to go to China. I'm no hero. I'm nobody. I'm just like you. I just went a little further down the road. We all have the same calling. We all have the same purpose. We all have the same message. We all have the same book. There's no difference between you and I. It just that for some of us, we need a little help financially. But more importantly, we also need your prayers. I need your prayers. Your missions portfolio, those guys need your prayer.
Right.
It's not a thing of you just flip a few bucks and forget about it. Don't do that. There's no fruit added to your individual account.
Right.
God will bless the church. He specifically and his wife, their family, they know the blessings.
Yeah.
And many of you have been here from a long time. You know how God's blessed this church simply because you gave to missions.
Yeah.
And being involved in the sacrifices that you made.
Yes.
You know. So collectively it's a good thing because God blesses the church collectively. But it's a wonderful thing when you're individually involved and you can sit there and say, and you know that the sacrifices that I've made to God to do his work pleases him, and it's a form of worship. And I want to worship God, and I want to glorify him. That's what he's saying. And so then in verse 19, he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I've Many people teach this verse. I've taught this verse. But understand the context where this verse is saying. Because of the sacrifices you make for God, whether it's time, money, or, you know, I don't know what they gave Paul. It could have been food. It could have been clothes. It could have been, I don't know. It doesn't say. But whatever it was, they sacrificed to help him.
Right.
That's the context. And verse 19 says that God says, I'll take care of it. Don't you worry about it.
Absolutely.
You just relax.
That's right.
But that's the context here. It's not the context. If I give 20 to the church, then Tuesday I'll get a check for $200. But come on now, you know that's nonsense. That's not what that doesn't say. He says, supply all your need.
Yes.
Maybe your washing machine lasts 5 years longer.
That's right.
Maybe your car motor don't blow up next week.
Right.
You know if God wants your money, he's going to get it.
Right.
If God wants you, he's going to get you.
Right.
Amen?
Yes. Amen.
I got tired a long time ago of him taking because I wouldn't give him. I don't like that. But I'm stubborn. That's my wife. No, yeah, you can ask my wife. She's right here. Ask her. And so that's the thing. So when you invest, it produces fruit, pleases God. God will take care of you. He sees the sacrifice. He smells it. It's acceptable. It makes him happy. He knows your heart. He knows why and what you're doing. And he says, wow, you did all this thing. You did all this for me. When you have all of these influences and things going against you not to do it, and you fight all of that, and you do it, you did it for me, and God says, it smells good. I'll take care of you, son.
Right.
I'll take care of you, daughter.
Right.
Don't you worry about it.
That's right.
And that's, you know, my daddy never would give me allowance if I didn't mow the yard. It's almost like it's based on, you're a good son, I'll reward you because you're a good son. Judgment seat of Christ.
Yes.
Same type thing. That's the importance of missions and missions giving. Collectively as a church, yes, but individually, if you want fruit to your personal account, if you really want to make a difference in this world, you can pray and don't get tired of giving to missions. If I'm not producing in the way that the interest in your investment it should be, then drop me and find somebody who will do it. I don't want you to, but this is an investment. This is important. It's serious.
Yes. Right.
And it takes all of us individually.
Right.
It does. And so Just to show you a few pictures of what's been happening. This is a baptism, and we get excited at baptism. They bring out video cameras and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's a big deal for them. It's one of the biggest times we have for witnessing. And there's just some of the ladies singing in the church, the choir. And we have a pretty lively kids program. You gotta love kids, no matter where they're from.
Amen.
And we have three vacation Bible schools a year. Two in the summer and one in the winter. February, the fall, and then two in the summer. And you'd be surprised, some of these little ones get saved and the influence they can have on mama.
Absolutely.
Mama, take me to church, I have fun.
Right.
And we've had a few of their parents get saved because of that. That's pretty awesome. And then this is a picture of an early shot of Sunday night, Peter preaching. This is the new church at High Dendow. Some of the members there, Simon teaching. This is the church about an hour and a half south of us. That's Watchman Baptist in Chongai. Peter again teaching. And then for this church, we go to the beach and have a baptism. In the city, we have a pool, like a swimming pool. That we baptize, but it's fun to go to the beach. Beach is okay. The creeks and the rivers, no, not there. You catch something you can't get rid of. This is some of the Wednesday night study. Now this picture, and I'll close with that picture. The purpose of that picture is, I told them, this is a Sunday night church. I hope you remember their faces. You'll never meet these people unless you come to China. And they'll probably never come to Jordan Baptist Church. But you have to understand something. Because of what you're doing, most of those people are sitting there. From your prayers and from your giving. That's added to your account, collectively as a church, but only to you individually if you're given to missions and prayer. That's some of the fruit that's added to your account. So I had them to wave, to say hello, as a way to say hello and a way to say thank you. I tell them what I do here in the States. I tell them where I go. I tell them why I go. I take pictures. I took pictures of this church. I go back and I show pictures of the church. I try to show pictures of the people because I want them to know you just like I want you to know them. We're all brothers and sisters. And you're just as much a part of this church, even though you're not there. You're just as much a part of the life of these people as I am. Amen. And I should be just as much a part of you, even though I live in China. Why? Because we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we have mutually invested in one another to glorify God and reach the world with the gospel. Amen. It can't be done any other way. That's a responsibility God's given to us. Yes. And so on behalf of True Light Baptist Church, mm-hmm. and for all of those people, thank you. Amen. Thank you for 17 years of support and prayers. Amen. They're here because of you. So thank you.